Well, we're concluding our series this morning, our October series, The Exceeding Greatness of His Power. You know, it's very misunderstood, too, because God's power works through our faith. It just does. And recently, I was listening to Kenneth Copeland the other morning. He said, you know, he got to a place, the Lord told him to exercise, get on a treadmill, do something, walk, whatever you got to do, but start exercising, and he didn't do it. And he had back problems. Then he developed a thing in his heart, and they said, well, you need a pacemaker. He said, I'm not going to do a pacemaker. I'm a son of God. Well, he went home and started praying about it. And you know what the Lord told him? He said, you're way behind the curve on this. I told you to exercise a long time ago. So you need to get that thing put in. He told him that. Now, this is Kenneth Copeland. You need to get that thing put in and then catch up. It'll give you the strength you need to catch up to where you need to be. So he had it done. And then he started exercising. Then he got to a place where he felt like, what am I doing with this? He went back to the doctor, and the doctor checked him all out and says, yeah, your heart is really good. And he deactivated it. Cool. Don't ever feel condemned. If you need to go to a doctor and get something done, it just means you're behind the... You need help. Get it. Amen? There are some people I know that they just don't want to go get help. And in fact, one of my best friend back in Connecticut would never see a doctor. And he died very early. He's my age. And in fact, he's in March. We're 4 months apart. He's 4 months older than me. And he died back in 13. Wouldn't go see a doctor. It could have helped him. But praise God. So the exceeding greatness of his power for such a time as this. You know, we're living in bad times. But that's okay. So is Jesus. So is Paul. You know, and I'll tell you something. The problems that this country is facing right now is nothing compared to what they faced. Absolutely zero. Oh, yeah, we got problems. And we got people trying to take this thing over and flip it into socialism and everything and put mandates on people that they wouldn't do themselves. Congress exempted themselves from the mandate. But they expect you to do it. They expect you to just be quiet and obey. That's not the way God works. You know, there's nothing that you'll ever go through that Jesus didn't go through. There's no temptation that you'll ever face that Jesus wasn't tempted with. He was tempted in all points such as we were, yet without sin. He is so good because he would not ask you to do something that he wasn't willing to do himself. So don't think you're alone. If you're in a dire situation, that's a good place to be, actually, because then you're all your dependence, all of your trust has to go in him. And when you place your trust in him, the Bible says, you will not be disappointed. Amen. That was a good place to laugh right there and to say, oh yeah. But you missed it. Stay with me here. How many of you read the word of the week? This week, the let no man take your crown. You know, everything we're seeing, we can see the person behind it is the devil. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he can't take your crown. He wants you to surrender it. That's the only way he can get it, if you surrender it. Let no man take your crown. If there's any, the Bible says we have a crown, by the way. Jesus said to the Ephesus believers, he said, let no man take your crown. That infers that you do have one. That's not a someday. Oh, there'll be someday where that crown will be placed with a lot bigger one. But even then, we'll just take it and throw it at his feet. because he's the one. You know, you can't take credit for any of this. As soon as you do, your dedicator wears out. You can find that out real quick. As soon as you start taking credit for your Christianity and your life, your commitment, which is very strong on Sunday, will wear out by Tuesday afternoon. What you need is revelation. Revelation fuels, and it will be effortless commitment, effortless dedication to the Lord, because it'll be a joy, and that joy of the Lord will sustain you. But the devil is after your crown. So the devil is after your crown. He wants you to submit to every rule that he lays down. And he wants you to shut up and obey. Just shut up, obey. Well, we obey one. But when people think there's, you know, you remember Yang Gi Cho, he just died recently, the pastor in Korea, South Korea, who founded this huge, humongous church. And he said, you know, God doesn't talk to smart people. He had all these little sayings. God does not talk to smart people. What does that mean? That means if you think you know everything, then you don't need God's advice and you won't follow it. You won't follow his counsel. You won't be open to it because you're smart. But if you approach God as you don't know anything compared to what he's going to show you, then you'll receive what he has for you. Amen? That's good. So let's declare this together. Are you hungry this morning? This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. The word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Well, last week we opened up some truth about in Paul's system of truth we talked about. So turn with me to Romans chapter 6 in verse 17, where it says, "But God be thanked that you were once servants of sin, but but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, and being made free from sin, you were made servants of righteousness." I like the way that starts. God be what? Don't take any credit for this, folks. God showed this to Keith Moore one time. Keith Moore says, you know, where does your grace end? Where does my ability end and your grace pick up? And he said, I just really want you to show me that. And the Lord showed him. And he was not prepared for the answer. Because for the next 3 days, he couldn't do anything. He wrote over 100 songs. He couldn't even remember what a G chord was. He was teaching classes at Rhema, and he couldn't even get through. He was forgetting scriptures that he had memorized, scriptures that he knows, not because he spent time memorizing, but because he spent so much time in the Word praying this into his life, and he couldn't remember one of them, not one of them. He even told Phyllis, his wife, he said, I think God's calling me out of the ministry. I can't do anything. I can't minister in song. I can't minister in word. I can't do anything. Amazing how he could get those words out, but nothing else. You know, you have 20/20 vision in the negative. After 3 days, the grace of God just came right back into his life, and nobody ever has to tell him that this is the grace of God. That you were servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, and being made free from sin, you were made servants. You became servants of righteousness. Now, we talked about this, that when you think of doctrine, when you think of that, you don't think too much of a doctrine that has the ability to free you from sin. You don't think of it, and even more than that, a doctrine that can give you the ability to be a servant of righteousness. It doesn't come by doctrine. But what Paul did, he framed that with a little phrase before doctrine, that form of. And that form of doctrine gives us a little insight, because what he was doing is showing a prototype. Here, let me read it to you. That form of doctrine, that phrase, Wymouth translates it as that system of truth in which you have been instructed. There's a system of truth in which you have been instructed. This kind, and that truth leads to freedom from sin, which kind of makes what Jesus said in John 8:31 to those Jews who believed in him. He said, if you continue in my word, continue in this system, continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth. And the truth of what? It'll make you free. And then Paul, you see, James Stalker, who is really popular around the turn of the century, or late 1800s, early 1900s, James Stalker said that the letters of Paul contained the thoughts of Jesus that Jesus carried away from the world unuttered. Paul's letters contain the thoughts of Jesus that he carried away from this world unspoken, unuttered, unsaid. That's exactly what Jesus said at the Last Supper when he said in John 16:12, he said to the disciples, I have many things yet to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. Amen? That's what that means. You cannot bear them now. So Paul's letters contain the thoughts of Jesus that he carried away from this world unuttered. They came through Paul. Why? Because they didn't have a place for it. They had no place in their heart. They didn't know the resurrection. He was talking about it, but they didn't understand that. They were absolutely devastated after the cross. Were they in faith for his resurrection? No. They were shocked. I mean, when Mary was at the gate and Peter went running towards the grave and everything, yeah. And John passed him, and John very respectfully, you know, probably looked in and went, and then Peter, boom, just comes in. Now they know something has happened, that there has been a huge shift in the world with the resurrection of Jesus. Peter got that too. He said, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, you are partakers of the divine nature. Think about that. We discussed some things. Last week we talked about Paul's 8 points of that system of truth. Number one, what is man? That man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. So we've got 3 different voices of influence in our life. One is the voice of reason. That's the voice of our soul. Your mind works according to the reasoning of this world. The voice of reason. The voice of feelings is the voice of your body. And the voice of your spirit, man, is the voice of your conscience. And that's where God deals with. He speaks to your spirit. Speaks to your heart. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. So if you think you're bipolar, actually you're tripolar. Because you got 3 different voices speaking to you all the time. You need to choose to obey the word of God, because that is the truth. And that's the only voice that you really need to follow. Then we talk about our identification with Adam, number two. Our identification with Adam, we're descendants of Adam, inherited his fallen nature because he was created to reproduce after his own kind. When his spirit took on sin and death, he reproduced that in Cain and Abel, and we see the result of that. And then Seth, and then and it says this, by one man, in Romans 5:12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. How does death come? Death by sin. Adam sinned, he inherited death. Number three, the point number three in Paul's system of truth is man's condition in Adam. The New Testament paints an accurate picture. Romans 1, Romans 3, Ephesians 2. I mean, it's really dark. It's not good. Ephesians 4, it goes into that too. And Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the works of the flesh. And then point number four is what happened from the cross to the throne? And this is where the door of redemption kind of flings kind of wide open for us, because this introduces us to redemption from God's perspective. The Gospels show us what happened to Jesus. He died. He was buried. He rose from the dead. But Paul's letters are the continuing thoughts, the advanced teachings from God's point of view, as the power that was released in the resurrection of Jesus from the, and it shows how that power undid all the works of Satan in Adam. It was powerful. If you miss those, you can go on our website and you can listen to those messages again. There's a lot of meat in there. So number four is what happened from the cross to the throne. We need to understand that there's more to the story than what the Gospels say. Paul's revelation of that power that was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead, Paul's revelation is not just for Paul. Paul's revelation is for you, so that you can rise up in that power. And Matt, so next time you're called in to your boss's office to say the job or the jab, you can stand up and know that when you speak, power is going to come out to undo their agenda. It's going to release power and light and truth that will reveal the deception that they're under. What next time, if you go to a PTA meeting and they accuse you of being a domestic terrorist, it's okay that they burned down buildings and murdered people in the streets all last summer and caused billions of dollars worth of damage. Those are peaceful protests, by the way, but if you speak up in concern for your kids, you're a terrorist. Well, you have the power on the inside of you to undo all of that deception and all of that by speaking up. That's why they're afraid. They don't want you to speak up. They want to cancel you out before you get a chance to speak up. Yeah. There is someone inside of you who's greater than the one in this world. You have more power than anybody in this world. Just one person. Why? Because you and God are a majority. And he can't do anything unless you speak it. Yes. And when you speak it, you're releasing power. Yes. When you said, Jesus is Lord, power came into you. Yes. Life came into you. And it destroyed the death, and you're a new creation in Christ. Oh, shout about it. Why? Because you're accepted in heaven. God has a carpet laid out for you to come to him. Why? Because the old is gone and you are brand new. And there is no thing that the devil can accuse you of, because Jesus is your advocate. He is your Lord General. He is your standby. He is your intercessor. And he is the last word over your life, and the devil can't do anything about it unless you believe it. He wants to take your crown. We're talking today about made alive with Christ. Being, say that, I am alive with Christ. I am raised up
with Christ.
I am seated together
with Christ.
Far above.
Oh,
you're going to need a telescope just to see how far down that devil is. And when you see it, you'll just look at that. Oh, yeah, boy, you. Oh, how the mighty have been cast down. You're going to have strong binoculars. You've been raised far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that's named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Oh, God's got plans for you. Good plans. So that brings us to our fifth point, our identification with Christ. Now, this word identification is the word identicalness. See, when you identify with somebody, you're identifying with the characteristic traits that are similar between the both of you, right? Your identification in Christ is an acknowledgement of the fact that you have been made twins with Jesus. That's what one translation says. That you have been made twins with Jesus. That his very life, boy, the very life of God, the substance that makes God, God, Zoe life of God is in you. Power life, blessing life, love, the ability to love, like Kelly was sharing earlier. The ability to forgive, the ability to rise up far above all of that minutia that's going on here in the earth and the cares of this earth that has made you free. Is there a joke in there somewhere? Our identification with Christ, God doesn't deal with you any differently from how he deals with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is there at his right hand. And God doesn't see you. He sees you through Jesus. He sees you through the blood. There is no difference that God holds between you and Jesus. He doesn't deal with you differently. Why? Because you're twins. If you received his word, his DNA is in your spirit. Amen? Number six is simply in him, who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, all we can do through Christ, and where we are in Christ. Praise God. This is where you can see the death, burial, and resurrection. The necessity of it is our condition in Adam. You can see it. And afterwards, you can see the identification and what that did in you, that power, when he raised Jesus from the dead. He is our advocate. In fact, Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to him by God, because he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Romans 8:34 identifies Christ as our intercessor. Says, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, God doesn't condemn us. Why would he be praying for us if he's... What he does is he condemns the sin and the deception and the lies that are coming towards us. He condemns the accusations of the devil that are coming for us. That's what he condemns. But you, he's interceding for you. It puts you in a whole different basket, because it says at the very first verse of Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then in verse 3, it says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The gavel has gone down, sin is condemned. But you're not. Sin has been blotted out. God has judged you not guilty. It's the power of the blood. That's what the blood is always speaking. At the throne of God, the blood is always there saying, innocent, Not guilty. Not guilty. Paid in full. Paid in full. Paid in full. Everybody say this. My sin was paid in full. There's nothing I can do except put my faith in the blood of Jesus. Praise God. That brings us to number eight, the eighth step or point in Paul's revelation of truth is how to grow spiritually, how to mature spiritually. And that's a whole nother thing we're talking about. What we talk, by the way, Bible studies, they've been getting really good lately. They've been getting really fun. I mean, this last one was just a major explosion. It was for me. I mean, I received light from that one that I, you know, it was just coming and coming and coming. But we're growing spiritually is developing supernatural relationships in the church. That you become a supply for somebody, somebody becomes a supply for you. We'll talk about that next month. We have more resources. But we have been made alive together with Christ. You say, well, I don't feel alive. Nobody talked to you about how you feel about it. Nobody said to you, are you sure? Is that in the Bible? Are you sure you're forgiven? No, it declares it as a redemptive fact. Healing is not even a promise in the Bible. It's a redemptive fact. God doesn't promise it. He says it's already done. We don't approach God as the sick trying to get healed. We approach God as the healed. For in his own body, he took our sin. And by whose stripes you were healed. That's done. God calls it a redemptive fact right there. Not even a promise you have to stand on. All you have to do is stand on the truth that it carries. And keep on confessing that truth till it manifests. You guys here this morning?
Yes.
Okay. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
That was weak. Come on, guys. You have the life of God in your heart, in your spirit. The thing is, and he tells you what to do with it. He's got a whole system here. So get the system. I just gave you the 8 points of it, and you follow these, and it'll bring you right to Ephesians chapter. Let's go there, John. Ephesians chapter 1, verse, and we'll start with 17. That the God of our Father, that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he's the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know 3 things. God's calling on your life, the amazing inheritance that he's given us. By the way, you can never tap into it and tap all of it out. You don't run to the end of it. It's an eternal. And the more you take out, the more it replenishes. It's of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. Amen?
Amen.
That's the Amplified Version. So, if we can keep that version, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. This is part of the review from the first portion of our series. But God, so rich is he in his mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Don't you love that? Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. When you said Jesus is Lord, the Spirit of Christ came in you. the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve. Let's go on. That you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. I love the Amplified version. It really vamps it all out. Somebody called it the Amplified, the Women's Bible, because it has a lot more words. Couldn't resist. Yeah, gentlemen, be on guard. The reason they have three times as many words as we do is because men don't really listen. That's a deficit. Write that down and memorize it, guys. That's called selective hearing. I'm going to stick my fingers in your ears and say, open up in the name of Jesus. We had a guy come out. There was a preacher years ago named Ed Dufresne. How many of you ever heard of Ed Dufresne? But he came out. He had an amazing healing ministry, too. And there was a deaf person. He was speaking. We rented out the Battelle Chapel at Yale University back in Connecticut. And he came and ministered there, and the place was pretty packed. People came up. And he did that. He went like this with his fingers, and he stuck it in their ear and said, "Be open!" Guy looked. Yeah. He said, "Turn around. Walk 10 feet. He did. He was obeying commands with his ears. And he said, "Tomorrow it will be sunny." Say that. He said, "Tomorrow it will be sunny." Say that. And the guy was, his hearing's, praise God. But Ed Dufresne, just amazing. He and Buddy Harrison were praying one time, and they were out both on the floor, just praying in tongues, Jesus kind of manifested himself to them. And he anointed Ed Dufresne, one of his hands, with a healing anointing. And Jesus came and grabbed it. And now, this time when they were praying together, he touched the other hand and said, "This hand will heal." And Buddy Harrison looked at him and said, "Did Jesus just touch your other hand?" He said, "Yeah." I mean, these are meetings that you can have with Jesus yourself. These are not things that you need to just say, "Well, that was good for them, but I guess I can." No. He's called everybody to the table. He's called everybody to the throne of grace. He's called us all. This is the hope of your calling. This is what you need revelation in, what the hope of your calling is, and what your inheritance is, and the exceeding greatness of his power that is already in you. The life of Christ, the very life, is in you already, and it is a powerful life. It's a life that knows no defeat. It's a life that knows no variableness or changing or anything with the wind, because it is solid. It is just as solid as God is, and that life is in you. Let that be an anchor for your soul. Just let it, and don't let your mind start telling you what you can believe. It says with the heart man believes, not with the mind. The mind wants to reason you out of it. No, you take your mind and get your eyes in the Word of God and renew renew your mind so it's in agreement with that which is already settled in heaven and in your spirit. With the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So shut your mind off. Your mind, you know, you give it a few minutes. Just turn the TV on once. Get in your car and go out on the highway once. Whatever, and your mind will come up with all kinds of stuff. And I mean, you can be okay right now, but by Tuesday afternoon, unless you get some revelation about your calling, about the exceeding greatness of your dedicator will wear out. Because it's not by human will. We're not born of the will of the flesh, but by God. And when His Spirit of life is in you, coming out on the inside of you, that's all you got to do is, but, I obeyed from the heart that system of truth which I have been instructed in. And I've been made free from sin and became a servant of righteousness. Is that good? Well, I'm going to share with you one last verse of Scripture. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. You know, we take this so glibly sometimes. We think, really? Because we base so much on our mind, our feelings, our emotions. And all the time, your mind was designed to receive the things of God from your spirit, assimilate them, fill your emotions with the joy of the Lord, with the love of God, and everything, and walk. Tell your body where it's going to walk and not your body telling you where it's going to walk. The authority of God is down here. The wisdom of God is down here. The life of God is down here. The faith of God. This is your believer down in here. You believe it in your heart? You say it with your mouth, and it'll come to pass if you doubt not. So get this under control. Jesus died on Golgotha, the place of the skull where the greatest battles are fought, right between your ears. Renew your mind with the truth, and the battle will be over. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return. I thank you for all the word that was shared here today. I thank you for the prophecies of peace, that you have called us to peace. Thank you, Father, for those words. For Jolene's word, and for Dwight's word, and for Barbara's word, and for Kelly's word. And Jacob, oh, precious Jacob, praise God. And that sweet spirit of his. You know, Jacob, I'm glad. Don't let anybody shut you up, brother. Because you know what? You are his workmanship, not anybody else's. And I just thank God for all the words that came forth today that we can benefit from, be ministered to, because once those are uttered by the Spirit, they're just not optional. They are spiritual law, and his peace will establish you, and you will be established in his peace. Father, your word is all powerful. We give it authority in our lives. We take control of this next week, and we bring it in under the blood covenant that we have with you, and we declare this week will be blessed. We thank you for the healing that you've done today in minds and hearts, in the spirit of reconciliation and family relationships. All the things that you've done, we make a note of them. And we sign it and date it. As of today, this is done. Your work is finished. And that we will maintain our confession of faith concerning our loved ones, ourselves, our finances, and everything that's important to us, we know is magnified as important to you. We'll walk away here from here filled with your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.